Hello, everyone, and welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
Last week, we talked a lot about long COVID and a treatment that's basically only available here in Germany called help apheresis. And I'm going to rush through them. There are a lot of points to cover with a quick follow-up on that chat, basically.
Blood washing,
yeah. Exactly. One of the comments came from Robert Selby. He's a longtime listener. And his question was, are there more of these machines just languishing somewhere? These help apheresis machines that can possibly, or that can remove some of the microclotting in your blood? All I have to say there, Robert, and for everyone else, I've passed that question along to the company that makes these help apheresis machines, B. Braun, and also asked them, you know, A, do you have some in the closet somewhere, more of them that we can use? And B,
because they're not making them.
Are you gonna make them again? Yeah. That's an open question.
At the moment, they're not.
Yeah. Other comment was from Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the woman from Rotterdam. She's a teacher. She had gone down to Mülheim, Germany for some of these treatments. I misstated how many treatments she had had. I thought she had had three or four at that point. It turns out she had only had two. She messaged me and said she's happy to be able to tell me that she's had the second treatment. It was last Wednesday. And that blech feeling we talked about,
yeah.
She was feeling kind of blech, is starting to feel a little less blech.
I referred to that as a Dutch expression.
Yeah, but she's feeling
because
less.
Because of the
exactly.
The guttural G, yeah.
Another point here, we ended that talk or that report basically talking about how we need new definitions for long COVID, that it's all mixed together and mashed up and it's really confusing and doesn't do justice to the number of people who are truly deeply suffering and disabled by the COVID-19 infection. It turns out the German Heart Foundation does differentiate pretty well. It's long COVID is technically longer than 4 weeks, post-COVID syndrome more than 12 weeks, and chronic COVID symptom is more than 6 months. So I thought, great. We do differentiate.
It's called chronic COVID symptom?
According to the German Heart Foundation. I wanted to verify this and make sure that, you know, this is what everyone was doing. No. Here's the CDC. People call post-COVID conditions by many names, including long COVID, long-haul COVID, post-acute COVID-19, post-acute sequelae, if I'm saying that right.
Sequelae?
Yeah, I've never known how to say that out loud, of SARS-CoV-2 infection, long-term effects of COVID and chronic COVID. So again, it's still all mixed up. Last thing I'll say based on this report was that I was very happy to see that one of the leading researchers in the world on microclotting with regard to COVID-19, basically there are two, and one of them, her name's Raisya Pretorius. She's based in South Africa at the Stellenbosch University. First of all, she took a look at our report and said it's balanced and accurate. And I was, yeah, that always feels good to hear that from an expert in the field. More importantly, right after she had tweeted that, she posted very new research on the topic that has not been peer-reviewed, so take this with a grain of salt.
And Dr. Pretorius, by the way, is one of the people involved in the research on apheresis, right? Whether it works?
Correct.
Together with Asad Khan and Dr. Beate Jaeger.
This is a very small group of people, and they are at the top.
So she's definitely in on the game. Yeah.
She is. And what she has just published is something that I wished I had mentioned last week and that there just wasn't time for. Basically, there are some very, very strong similarities between what long COVID patients are suffering from, many of those symptoms, and what people with ME/CFS suffer. I always knew this as chronic fatigue syndrome. I've known people who've had chronic fatigue syndrome. And essentially what they were looking at, there are so many similarities with the symptoms that they're starting to wonder, is this basically the same thing? A strong viral infection leads to some sort of autoimmune reaction.
Is chronic fatigue syndrome autoimmune?
Chronic fatigue syndrome is not very well understood, in kind of in the same way as that long COVID is.
It can be autoimmune.
It can.
Doesn't have to be.
Parts of it are possibly or probably are autoimmune.
Okay.
There's also, as the one part of the name suggests, myalgic encephalomyelitis. That last word there is talking about, I believe, a reference to neuroinflammation.
Brain, yeah.
In any case, what they're basically trying to figure out, I'll summarize it here quickly, just the results, is, you know, does it all come down to microclotting in the blood? Are both of these things fundamentally vascular, have something to do with your blood system, your circulatory system, even if that's not like the primary cause? That's just where we're, you know, seeing some of the manifestations. Is this the same thing? Her summary of her own research says, we conclude that MECFS, so chronic fatigue syndrome, is accompanied by substantial and measurable changes in coagulability, platelet hyperactivation, and fibrinoloid microclot formation. And she goes on to say that could explain the fatigue in both cases. This could very well be a similarity.
Exactly what Beate Jaeger is testing for at her clinic in Mülheim?
Yes.
Microclots and hyperactive platelets.
Also what Pretorius herself is testing for down in South Africa. Mm-hmm. One caveat, she says, however, microclot load was not as prevalent as was previously noted in long COVID. So there is a difference, but there are a lot of similarities. And again, all of this long COVID research might end up producing positive results for the many people out there who've suffered from ME/CFS their whole lives and have probably also felt very misunderstood, very judged, you know, because a lot of people don't really know what that is or where it comes from. And are you really sick? Or could you, you know, do you just need to go for a jog or something? No, there's something else going on.
It would be great if what we know about chronic fatigue syndrome, we can use that to build on the very little we know about long COVID at this point.
Yeah.
For some collaboration between those two fields.
It seems like what I'm seeing online are a lot of the researchers who are at the top of that field, of both of those fields, are seeing some crossover that might be mutually productive.
Nice.
Again, this research out of South Africa, just a grand total of 40 people involved. It's a small study. It's a preprint. Take it with a grain of salt. But yeah, an indication of where or some of the side benefits that this research may lead to.
Yeah, one last bit of Corona news and something to take with a grain of salt as well. Moderna, they've announced that they're going to have an Omicron-specific vaccine ready for testing, possibly for the fall. It's at this point has not been tested officially. The clinical trial that they have run on it involved 814 people. Average age 57. They say that their Omicron-specific vaccine produces 1.75 times more neutralizing antibodies than the original Moderna. So it works better against the coronavirus the way we know it now. And according to what they're saying, it will work against the further iterations of the coronavirus, the B4s, the B5s, and whatever else is coming in the future. According to their CEO, Stefan Bancel, who was speaking to CNBC, he was saying that based on something that they did this past April, over a year ago, they did a specific vaccine against the beta variant. Mm. Not everyone knows about this. They did it as a proof of concept. And that vaccine, it was called a bivalent vaccine. So it was for the original coronavirus, but also for beta. It worked better against beta, it worked better against alpha, and it worked better against delta.
So there's kind of a knock-on effect.
Right. And they're using that to base their claims that this Omicron-specific vaccine will work better against whatever's coming next.
Which is doubly good news, because if it continues to work against further subvariants, then it possibly suggests you would not need to be boosted as frequently.
They're saying once a year now. Like this will last for the next year. I don't know how they...
Basing
that on the flu vaccine.
But okay.
That seems a little bit... For me, that's a stretch to say that. But of course, Moderna wants to make its investors happy.
we're quoting the CEO of a for-profit company that has also made one of the world's best coronavirus vaccines.
They made to the tune of, I believe, $21 billion this past quarter. So they're, you know...
So long as they can continue protecting me from severe infection.
That's what it does.
Go for it.
59% higher than their original vaccine.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, so that's good news. If that turns out to be true and the timeline or the time frame holds.
They are seeking FDA approval by the end of summer so that they can get it going.
And you said fall, meaning rolling out, we can get jabbed in the arm.
October-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be, that's typically mm-hmm. when at least here at Deutsche Welle, when we get our flu vaccines.
Yeah.
Any other questions from people out there? We would love to hear them. SUDW.com.
Science.